This Easter, my theme is the promise of paradise. And I wonder what you think of when you think of paradise. Maybe you've already found your little piece of paradise somewhere. For many of us, paradise evokes images like this. Google takes us to the ocean. Sun rises and sunsets and palm trees. There's always a palm tree in paradise. So today, my sermon revolves around three trees. Not a palm tree, but three trees representing paradise lost, the way back to paradise, and the promise of paradise. Here is the first tree, the tree of Eden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden. It was there that paradise was lost. The representative man and the representative woman, Adam and Eve, rebelled against the Lord their God. They chose autonomy over subjection to God's authority. Like us, they thought that they knew better than God. They wanted to determine for themselves what is good and evil, rather than allowing God to determine what is good and evil. Wanting to become wise, they became fools, suffering the consequences. Paradise lost, barred from the tree of life, which was also in Eden, a fourth tree, if you like. Death enters the world with sin. We live under the curse of God because of our sin. And this pattern continues today, and the evidence is all around us. A virus causing sickness and death. Division over how it should be handled. Hatred and disdain between the vaxxed and the anti-vaxxed, the left and the right, the globalist and the nationalist. War in Europe in 2022, war crimes being committed. Climate, this image here is old growth trees cleared for wind farms. The irony. energy, supply chains, potential food shortages. Our world is a mess. Because we choose to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we think that we can rule better than God. What self-deception, what arrogance, what foolishness. We are broken. The world needs healing. We need healing physically, emotionally, relationally, politically, spiritually. And so we come to the second tree, the tree of Calvary. We heard the narrative read, Jesus crucified with two criminals either side. One hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Here is a picture of two responses people make to Jesus. On the one hand, insults and not understanding that Jesus is indeed the Messiah, and he is indeed saving by dying. On the other hand is the one who fears God. "Don't you fear God," he said, and acknowledges that they are a sinner worthy of the penalty of death. "We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve." And most importantly, knows that Jesus is Savior and King. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." This is an amazing confession. Jesus is dying on the cross right beside him, yet he knows that he is king. He knows that Jesus will, quote, come into his kingdom, even as he dies on a cross. And he knows that Jesus has the ability to save him. Remember me, he says, even as he dies on the cross. Now, this is the classic deathbed conversion up to this point. This man has lived a shady life, a criminal life. It's likely that he'd committed serious crime. Yes, he was a thief, but possibly more, possibly even murderous. To be worthy of crucifixion by the Romans, he is certainly not good. He is bad, far from good. To liken it to our times, you'd probably find him in Goulburn Supermax, worst of the worst, a dangerous criminal. Yet here he is expressing repentance and faith, acknowledging his sin, knowing what he deserves from God, basically pleading for mercy, begging Jesus for salvation, receiving Jesus as his king. See, the cross of Christ, the tree of Calvary, is where healing is found. We know that Jesus was a healer in his public ministry. He healed the physically, emotionally, and relationally, and spiritually broken. All this healing pointed to the cross in which Jesus brings real and lasting healing to a broken world. As I said before, from the time of the tree in the garden, humanity has been under a curse, God's curse. But as Jesus dies on the tree of Calvary, the curse is reversed. How so? Well, Jesus takes God's curse upon himself. He is punished for our sin, dying the death we deserve, experiencing the judgment of God that was coming to us. And by doing so, he makes it possible for us to be blessed rather than cursed. The Apostle Paul writes about this in Galatians 3. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Jesus was cursed on that tree on Calvary so that we might be blessed, healed spiritually, redeemed from sin and death and spiritual darkness, and reconciled to God, at peace with him, like the thief on the cross. Not because we are good people or deserving people, but because of God's mercy, because of the grace of Jesus Christ. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. The thief on the cross teaches us that. We deserve death and judgment for our sin. Grace is receiving the gift we don't deserve. Again, the thief teaches us this. The gift of salvation is undeserved. It's amazing grace. Amazing grace, the tree of Calvary sings of forgiveness, salvation, peace with God, spiritual healing, which flows to emotional and relational healing, peace within ourselves and peace within relationships as we learn to relate with grace and mercy. And isn't this what our broken world needs? Transformation. Transformation by the tree of Calvary. So much of our world is shaped by the tree that was in the garden. Autonomy, self-rule, conflict, toxicity. That's the word of our times, isn't it? Everything's toxic. Hatred, war, chaos, sickness, death, life under the curse. We need to return to the tree of Calvary, where the curse is reversed, where there is peace with God, peace within ourselves, peace in our relationships, creating more peace in our world. Our world needs this transformation. But I'm not in control of this world. I'm barely in control of me and my life. In fact, I'm not. God is ultimately in control. And he is reversing the curse, soul by soul. And it starts with me. It starts with you. I need to learn from the thief on the cross, pleading for God's mercy, begging Jesus for his grace. Day by day, looking to that tree for blessing, salvation, and transformation, living at peace with God, living at peace with my family, living at peace with my friends, living at peace within my church community and in community life, showing mercy, being gracious, loving like Christ. This is life lived under the tree of Calvary. Now to the third and final tree, only very briefly, because our focus on the third tree really waits till Sunday. For now, as Jesus dies, he makes a promise to the repentant, believing ex-thief. Not the unrepentant thief who goes down fighting on his other side. Jesus famously makes this promise, the promise of paradise, the tree of life. Then the ex-crim said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Not tomorrow, not some time off in the distant future, not even on the day of resurrection, immediacy. The moment he takes his last breath on that cross, his spirit will be with the Lord in paradise. That means Jesus' spirit will be with God in paradise the moment he breathes his last. His body is in the tomb 3 days, but his spirit is with the Lord immediately, as with the thief. Physical resurrection awaits for Jesus in 3 days, for us when the Lord returns. Nevertheless, I digress a bit here. There is a tree that we look forward to. Not the palm tree and sunset in retirement, the tree of life in the eternal kingdom. And as we shall see on Sunday, that tree has healing qualities. Not herbal medicine, but listen to this from Revelation 22, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. More on that on Sunday. Three trees, three crosses, but also three trees. One, the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, a tree we too often feed on, a tree that continues to shape our broken world. Two, the tree on Calvary where the curse is broken and the promise of paradise is spoken, and the resurrection that makes that promise a reality. The promise of life without sin and death, no more curse, no more crying or pain, no war, more war, no more pandemic. And the leaves of that tree are for the healing of the nations. Let me pray. This is the traditional prayer for Good Friday. Almighty God, we pray you graciously to behold this your family for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and given into the hands of sinners and to suffer death upon the cross, who now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. We're going to sing of Amazing Grace.